Devil.
Today's shir is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Lamed Aleph. We're going to begin on Daf Lamed Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Nachri Shehel Ves Yisrael Achemtsoi, if a Jew lent a non-Jew money and they used chametz as collateral, that chametz after Pesach is Mutar B'Hanah. Could I benefit from it? The truth is you could even eat it, the Rishonim point out. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, and Rashi teaches us here, we're dealing in a situation where it's not just that the Jew gave the non-Jew the chametz as collateral, but the chametz actually is in the non-Jew's control. Yisrael shehilves nachri al chemtzai. However, vice versa, if a Jew lent the non-Jew money, and the non-Jew gave the Jew chametz as collateral, acha pesach osban, or that chametz after Pesach is osur because it's considered chametz shavel of a Pesach. There's a wide-ranging discussion in the Rishonim. What is the case of our Mishnah? Is the case of our Mishnah that the loan was already due, or is it even when the loan is not due, the same halacha? Most Rishonim, and that's the way we're going to explain the Gemara, express that the Mishnah is discussing a case where the loan is not due. But the fact that the chametz is either in the non-Jew's property and it was used as collateral, or vice versa, is enough to consider it non-Jewish or Jewish chametz, even though the loan is not yet due. Itmar tells us the Gemara. Bal choyv. Abayam umafrehu goyva, rov avam mekanal habo goyva. If somebody puts up something as collateral, as security for a loan, and then, so let's say the loan took place Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and it's due on Rosh Chodesh Adar. He put up the security, Rosh Chodesh Adar comes, and the borrower cannot repay. So the halacha is that he could take the security. So now the Gemara's question is, from when is the security considered that it was owned by the borrower, by the lender? Is it considered that it was owned from the time of the loan, which is what Abaye says, Mefrayu hu goyva, it's from Rosh Chodesh Shvat when the loan took place, and Rava says, Mekanu labo goyva, it's considered as if it took place only at the time of default, which is Rosh Chodesh Adar. Says the Gemara, Kol hecha de agdish lover, v'zovin lover, let's say, if during this month of Shvat, the loiver went and sold the property that he put up as security, or he magdish the property that he put up as collateral, clearly amalei pligi, everybody will agree, da'osa malva v'tarif, v'osa malva parik, that the lender could come in Rosh Chodesh Adar when the borrower defaults and take it from whom the property was sold to, or even take it from Hegdish. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Erechin, Moisef Oidiner Opoide Es Nechosim Eilu. And as Rashi explains, the halacha is as follows. Normally, if I want to redeem something from Hegdish, I have to pay its value. Here, because the loiva had no right to be Magdishit, truthfully, the Malva should be able just to go to Hegdish and take it and say it really never belonged to you. But because people will see that happen and not realize that what was the history here, so we have to go through the motion of some sort of a pidyon, of some sort of a redemption process, giving one dinar is enough. Now Rashi asks Akasha. The Gemara says many times, primarily in Masechta Ksubos, Hegdish chametz v'shikur mafkim edei shibut, which means that if I'm magdish something, although it already may have a lien on it, the fact that I'm magdish it overtakes the lien. So why over here isn't that the case? So Rashi answers, there's two types of Hegdish. There's something called Kedushas Aguf and something called Kedushas Tomim. Kedushas Aguf means that it has, that I want to use the item that I was Magdish, put it on the Mizbeach. That, Rashi says, the halacha is, Hegdish is stronger than any prior lien. But here we're only talking about Kedushas Tomim, that we're being Magdish to value. There is no halacha that Hegdish could take out the prior lien. Another teretz, the Tosfos gives, Tosfos says there's a difference if it's property, real estate that you're being magdish, or it's metatlin you're not magdish. Metatlin, the halach is that hegdish is stronger than any prior lien, but not by property. The Meiri says a very nice teretz. He says like this person, this loiva that was magdish, Let's understand what is the circumstances. If when he was magdish the property, he had other property from which to pay the chayv, so that's why the hegdish is chal. That's why it's effective, because hegdish says you could pay your debts with something else, and that's what the Gemara says, that hegdish is stronger than a lien. However, our Gemara is speaking about that the only property or the only assets that he had to pay off the loan were from this asset that he went and he was magdish. So he can't be magdish something that's already designated for paying. Key pligi, what is the machlokes of Abaye and Rava relevant? The Zov and Malva, the Kaddish Malva. During this month of Shvat, the lender already went and sold this piece of property that there was a lien on, or was magdishit. Abaye Amul Mafrehu Goiva. Abaye says that we consider him the owner of the piece of property from Rosh Chodesh Shvat when the loan took place. And since Kim the Mata Zamne Veloi Pare, Igloi Mislam Afrei the Merkoi Rishus Hava, since when Rosh Chodesh Adar comes along and he doesn't pay the debt, that means it was his already from Rosh Chodesh Adar, Veshape Agdish Veshape Zavim. So what he sold was his, and what he was Magdish was his. V'Rav Amar, Mikanu Lahabahu the Zavim. It's only his on Rosh Chodesh Adar when there's a default on the loan. What's the proof? Kivin Da'avil Ila Havle Zuze. Had, if the borrower had money, then he wouldn't be able to take ownership of this secured property on Rosh Chodesh Adar, because the borrower was just paying back with the cash that he has. Ishtakach, so what does that say? The hashtakakani, it only becomes his on Rosh Chodesh Adar when the borrower defaults, and anything that he did with this property prior to that is not his to do anything, to sell, to be magdish. Asked the Gemara, "Omi amar Rava Hochi, did Rava indeed pass him this way?" V'amar Rava Bachama. We have the following story: a Gemara Masechet Ksubos. Reuven shemachas sodah l'Shimon b'Achrayas. Reuven sold a piece of property to Shimon b'Achrayas, which means like this: that Reuven told Shimon that I'm selling you this people's property, and if somebody shows up, a prior creditor of mine shows up and says there's a lien on this property, and he takes it away from you, I owe you the money that you paid for this property. But it's not so simple, the story. Also, v'zakna lo b'milva. Shimon didn't actually give Reuven money. He owes him the money for the property. So both of them are sort of amorphous here. Reuven is telling Shimon that if anybody takes away the property from you, I will reimburse you. But Shimon never really paid Reuven. He owes Reuven the money. And now Meis Reuven. Reuven passes away right after that. V'osa bal choiv de Reuven, v'tara flame Shimon. And Taka, creditor of Reuven, shows up and takes the property away from Shimon. V'osa Shimon, or paisa bezuzay. So Shimon says, I want to keep the property. I know you have a prior lien, so you have the right to take away the property. So you know what it is? How much did Reuven owe you? Whatever he owed you, I'll pay you in cash and let me keep the property. And he tells that. Or paisa bezuzay. Dinahu. So now, what does Shimon say? Shimon's thinking was that whatever money he laid out to Reuven's creditor, he'll just deduct from what he owes Reuven's estate anyway, because he never really paid for the property. Says the Gemara, that won't work. Dinahu, the osa b'nei Reuven, Reuven's yarshim, his children, his estate, could tell Shimon, anam metat l'shuk v'un gabach. You owed our father cash for the property. Umetalt the yasmi, and since it's cash, cash is different than real property. Real property, even after the person passes on, all of his real property is subservient to any prior loans that exist that he had, but not his movable property, cash. Umetalt the yasmi, you owe us money. That money is not. There's no lien on that money that you could say you paid off the creditor with that money, because the metalta diyasmi lebal choiv loy mishtabda. So what are they telling him? What they're effectively telling him is like this: that you paid off our father's creditor, fine, but that has nothing to do with us. You still owe us, or you still owe our estate money for the piece of property that you bought from our father, and ends up Shimon pays twice for the same property. Amar Rava, so Rava says, ipikeach Shimon. If Shimon is a smart person, Magvile Ara, he'll tell the children of the Reuven who passed away, I'm not paying you what I owe you in cash. I'm going to pay it to you in property. So the way Rashi says is that although normally if someone owes someone else money, he's supposed to pay him in cash. Only if he has no cash can he pay him with real estate. Here, he could choose to say that. The Ravid is bothered with Rashi's pshat, because if he has cash, how could he say he doesn't have cash? So the Ravid says a beautiful pshat. He says, since by him, as we're going to learn in a moment, by him paying property, it puts him in a much better position than paying them back with cash, because we just explained by paying them back in cash, he will essentially have messed himself up. It's considered as if he has no cash. And whenever you have no cash, you're allowed to pay with property. So he tells them, Magvali Ara, he says, okay, I owe you estate money, here's a piece of property to satisfy that. But now he says to them, you owe me for what the creditor of your father took away from me, give it back to me. V'had gavu l'minayu, Dom Rav Nachman, Yisom Shigavu Chak B'Choy V'Saviyim, if money was owed to an estate, and the estate was paid with real estate, that real estate, any prior liens, they could take that real estate to satisfy. So, ask the Gemara. If we say that when something is paid, we don't say it's as if it's paid today. We say it's paid when the loan was taking place. When did Shimon owe Reuven the money? He owed him the money the moment he took the field. And we're saying, according to the Mount Omer, that says, according to Abaya, that it's as if when he does actually give Reuven, or now it's Reuven's estate, it really goes back to that day. So it means Reuven had the money from that day. So now he could take that property back because those creditors exist. The command, the government, Chaim, Davur, Dami. All this is as if the father is still alive because we go back to the date of the transaction. Eli Amrit Mekan Lahabo Goiver, if you're going to tell me that the halacha looks at actual date, so when did these Simon get this property? They got it today, where the father's no longer alive. Amai Chos V'Goiver is the man. So how could Reuven's creditors now take that property? Have a command of Zavon Yasmi Nachsi Dami. It should be no different than, let's say, the estate of someone who passed away went and bought property. They're investing their money. Do prior creditors have any lien on that? They're doing business. It has nothing to do with what the father did. If an estate went and bought real estate, so here too, since they're only getting it, because we say mikan al-abot today, so this should not have any effect on any prior liens that existed on their father. This has nothing to do with their father. Answers the Gemara. Even if you'll say mikan al haba, goiva shani hasam, there it's different. Domluhu kehech de mishtab de loy lavuchen mishtab de nami lebal chayv davuchen. So the way I understand this line is as follows: Shimon tells the estate of Reuven, you can't have it both ways. You want to say that I owe money to this estate? Why? Because you're an extension of your father, and that's why the money that I owed your father, you have a right to collect. So if you're an extension of your father in collecting his debts, you should also be an extension of your father in paying his debts. So that's why it goes both ways. Says the Gemara, where do we find this concept that you can't have it both ways? And what the Gemara is essentially saying is that you have to follow it through all the way. It's what's called Shibud Rav Nosson. The Tanya Rav Nosson Omer, Menayin L'Chavei Shibachaveri Mono, A owes B $100, v'chaveri b'chaveroi, and B owes C money. Shematzin mizeh v'noisin lezeh, that A, we take the money directly from A to C. Tamaloimer v'noisin lash ashamloim. So the way it goes is as follows: the pasuk discusses the case if Reuven stole something from Shimon, and Shimon confronts him, and Reuven swears falsely that he never stole, and then he admits that he did. The halacha is that he has to pay a keren, the amount that he stole. Chaimish, he has to add 25%. And he also has to bring a carbon. But when the Torah discusses this, the Torah says, V'l nosan lash oshem loy. Really what the Torah should have said, it's not that he's guilty. Oshem means guilt. It has nothing to do with guilt. It has to do with so it's a nosha. So Reb Nosson learns from this that let's say Reuven stole something from Shimon and Shimon owes something to Levi. Now when Reuven has to pay back Shimon, he doesn't pay Shimon directly. Since Shimon has a debt to Levi, Reuven pays Levi directly. Here too, we look at this as if Shimon, in our previous Gemara, where you have Shimon, Reuven, and the assignment in the middle, we look at the relationship directly between Shimon and Reuven, and we cut out the middleman. Now, the question in Shibud Reb Nosson, I don't want to go into it too much, is what is the chiddush of Shibud Reb Nosson? If you look at it like the Nesivus quotes the Rashba, it's just a practical thing. What's the halachic ramification of Shibud Reb Nosson? I owe you money, and you owe somebody else money, so instead of going through all the steps, I give it to the other person. What is the halachic ramification of Shibud Reb Nosson? So I saw a few answers. There are a lot of answers. I'll mention a few. One is, we know that everything in halacha requires a kinyan. For me to owe you money, there has to be a transaction taking place. In this case, when A owes B and B owes C, there was no kinyan between A and C. The chiddush is that even though there was no kinyan between A and C, the halacha looks at it as if there was. That's one teretz I saw. Another teretz is like this. What would happen if A borrows money from B on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? So from Rosh Chodesh Shvat, there's a lien on all his property to pay off that money. B borrows money from C on Rosh Chodesh Adar. When does that lien begin? On Rosh Chodesh Adar. Now when I say that A owes C the money, C gained. Normally the lien would have really only begun Rosh Chodesh Adar. By saying that I say A owes C the money, I give him an extra month of having a lien. Another teretz I saw is a very nice teretz, a simple teretz from the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua says like this: let's say A owes B money and B owes C money. In our case, A always has the right to forgive Chayv. Let's say you owe me money, I could tell you, you know what? Forget about it. But what does Shibud Reb Nosson tell me? That's not A owing money to B, it's A owing money to C. And B has no ability here to forgive the debt, because it's not a debt to him, it's a debt to C, and it's a debt to C now. Continues the Gemara. Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah. Nachri Shehivas Yisrael Chemtzai. If a guy lent money to a Jew and the Jew put up the chametz as collateral, Acha Pesach Matbanah. That was what we learned in our Mishnah. Now let's see how that works, what we've been learning. Iyam Bishlama L'mafreyu Hugava. If we say that the collateral is if it's collected from the day the debt took place, L'hochim Matbanah. That makes sense. It's considered already the guy's from before Pesach, because the debt, because the loan took place before Pesach. Eli Amr Mikan Ulabo Gaiva. If you're going to say that it's only when the debt is due, that's when it's considered the guy's. Amay Mutabano. Why is this Chomet Mutabano? Why isn't it considered Chomet Shavu Lavar Pesach? Breshus to the Yisrael Havakai. It's in the Jew's property because the debt isn't due yet. Answers the Gemara. As we mentioned, we learned the Gemara Mishnah. Hokmai Skinen Kishirin Etzlai. Here, although the debt wasn't due, but the Jew already put the chametz into the guy's rishus when he made it into collateral. So since it is collateral and it is in the guy's rishus, although the debt is not yet due, it's already considered like it's the guy and there's no problem of chametz shavu pesach. Says the Gemara, Lamech Tanai. Perhaps this machloikus of mekanal haba ulamafreya is actually machloikus Tanai. It says in a brisa, Yisrael shehilva lenachri al chemtzai. Here the guy put up collateral to the Jew, his chametz, because the Jew lent the money. Lecha Pesach and Oiver. The halach is, it's not considered chametz shalava Pesach. Mishum Rameya Amru. Rameya says, Oiver, that it is considered chametz shalava Pesach. What is the machlaikas? So at first glance, I would say, my laba hokimufki. The masav l'mafreihu goiva. That the collateral is already considered from the time it's put up. So since it was put up before Pesach, it belongs to the Jew over Pesach. It's Chomet Shavu over Pesach. Or Masav Mekanal Habo Goiva. The collateral is only considered effective when the debt is due. Since the debt was only due after Pesach, So it's not considered the Jew's chametz. Says the Gemara of Tisbro, can you explain this braisa this way? Eima seifa. Let's continue learning the braisa. The braisa speaks about the other case. Ava nachri shehivul yisrael achemtsoi. Here, the Jew put up chametz as collateral. The rehakel over. The halach is it's considered chametz shavu pesach. Ask the Gemara, why does everybody agree? The machloikas in the there should be the exact same machloikas in the second case as we had in the first case. The only difference is the positions will be reversed. Ve'ipchemi boile lemandam ahasamein over. The mandam who says in the reisha that he's not over on chametz shavu pesach. Why is he not considered that he's over chametz shavu pesach? Because it's considered that it's already the goyis. So because we go from the moment of the debt. So here too, it should already be considered the Jews, because we go from the moment of the loan, and now it's the Jews for the moment of the loan. Lemandam ahasam oivr. On the other hand, the mandam in the reishu says that we follow the time when the debt is due, and that's why since the debt was not due, it's still considered the Jews. Hacha, he should not be oivr, because it should still be considered the goyis since the debt was not due. Ella, hacha ma'iskinen. How do you have to explain this braisa? B'sherina, it's like we have to explain that it has nothing to do with Mekana l'haba or l'mafreya. Rather, it has to do with where exactly is the chametz and what is the machlokes. Specifically, with Rabbi Yitzchak, the arguing around the concept Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Don Rabbi Yitzchak, menayin l'bal chayv shekoyin amashkin. How do we know that if I give you collateral, you lend me money, and I give you something as security, how do I know the halacha views it as if you owned this security? Shenemar, because the pasuk says l'chati yitztaka. The pasuk says that let's say somebody who's a poor person gives security, and he gives him something that he needs to live with during the day. He gives him his only utensil that he does his job with. So halach is that every morning the lender has to give back the borrower what he needs by day, and at night he takes it back, or vice versa. Let's say he gave him his mattress, his pajamas. So by day he could hold on to it, and at night he has to give back. But the Torah says, by doing this, ulecha tiyat tztaka. It's considered that the person, the lender who did this, is doing tztaka. Mikan, lebalchoy, im eina koina mashkin. Now, if it's not considered that it's yours, tztaka menayim. You could only do charity, a very important lesson. You could only do charity with something you own. With somebody else's money, it's not a kunst to do tztaka. So since the pasuk says it's considered stalker, it's obviously that's his. So mikan lebal chayv shekoyin amashkin. So we see that the lender is considered that he owns the collateral. He owns the security. Now there's a very interesting machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What does it mean that the lender owns the security? Rashi says it's completely as if it's his. He's responsible for any type of situation. For an oinus, for a pshia, for everything, for gneva v'aveda. Tosfos, the second to the bottom Tosfos, disagrees. Tosfos says, he quotes a Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, that he's considered like a shoy mesacher, that he's chayev for pshia and gneva v'aveda, but he's not chayev for oinsim. I mean, there is a level of ownership, but it's not all the way that he's even chayev for oinsim. In fact, the Mefarshim ask, how could Rashi say that the lender has such a strong degree of ownership in the security, where the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia says he doesn't? So they answer a very interesting teretz. There are two times where a person may give security. Sometimes you give security at the time of the loan. I want to lend money, I want to borrow money from you. You say, give me some collateral. And sometimes you trust me. And then the due date comes, and I don't have what to pay. So now you're not so excited. So you say, now I want some collateral from you. So Rashi, they explain, says like this. In the case where the collateral was given at the time of the loan, where there is no indication that I'm not going to pay the loan, so then the ownership that the lender has in the security is a more limited ownership, and he only owns it, but like a shayma sacher. However, the security, the collateral that's given after the debt is already due, is a much higher level of ownership, and that's what Rashi and our Gemara is referring to. But be it as it may, we certainly see from this Gemara that the lender has ownership in the security, in the collateral. In fact, the Mefarshim explain, what is this pasuk teaching us? The pasuk is teaching us a gewaldig thing. You would think, say the Mefarshim, that once the lender has ownership in the security, so he's not doing a mitzvah anymore, because now he got ownership of the security. Teaches us the pasuk, don't think that your mitzvah has been diminished by your owning the security. You still have two mitzvahs. Number one, you have a mitzvah that you lent another Jew money. And number two, you have a mitzvah when you return the security to him when he needs to have it. But be it as it may, back into the Gemara. Mikan l'balchoy shikar mashkin. Tanakana sover Yisrael miYisrael. When do we say that the lender gets ownership in the collateral? When it's two Jews doing a loan, one between each other. Who the Karina Be'elachati Yitzhaka? That's when it's considered that the lender owns it. Av Yisrael Minachri, when a Jew gets security from a guy, like honey, it's not considered as if he owns the security, it's not considered as if he owns the collateral, and that's why the Tanakama in the Brisa that we learned in Amun Aleph says that he's not over for owning chametz. Because it, since it's a guy giving him the security, it doesn't give the Jew ownership in that collateral. Ramei Sava, Ramei Hos, no. Kav Yischav Chaymer, on the contrary. If Yisrael mi Yisrael Kani, if when one Jew gives another Jew security, we say that it's considered as if the Jew has ownership in it. Yisrael Menachri, when a Jew receives collateral from a guy, like Koshkein, that he certainly owns it, and that's why it's considered Chomet Shavu of a Pesach. Avol Nachri Shehilves Yisrael. However, in a situation where a Jew puts up collateral to a guy, Avol Nachri Shehilves Yisrael Chemtsoi, Avra Achra Pesach, the Rehakal Oiver. Why? Hasam Vadin Nachri Yisrael Ekani. Nobody is going to hold that when a Jew gives a guy collateral, it becomes the guy's property. And since it's not considered the guy's property, whose property is it? It's the Jew's property. And if it's the Jew's property, he's over by Yerah, by Yimotzah. Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Nachri Shehilves Yisrael Ekamtsoi, if a Jew gave a guy collateral, his chametz, Acha Pesach, Mutmano. After Pesach, you can use this chametz. It's not considered chametz shavul of a Pesach. Ask the Gemara, Nei nami derin etzloi. Even if we'll explain the Mishnah, as we have previously, that we're dealing, it's not just that the Jew put up the chametz as security, he physically gave the security to the goy. Ha'amrit, didn't we just learn a moment ago that Nachim Yisrael, when a Jew gives a goy security, like honey, it doesn't become the guys. So if it doesn't become the guys, it's still considered the Jews. Why does our Mishnah paskin that there's no problem with chametz shavul of a Pesach? It's still the Jews' chametz. We should have a problem with chametz shavul of a Pesach. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. There's a new twist here. Hada amalei me'achshiv, hada loy amalei me'achshiv. Even though, says the Gemara, when a Jew gives a guy security, it does not become the guy's. Different when one Jew gives another Jew. If when the Jew gives the guy the security, he tells him, it's yours from now, if I default on the loan, then even when it's going from a Jew to a guy, the guy gets ownership. Hod amalei me'achshiv. When the Jew says, it's yours from now, if I default on the loan, then it becomes the guy's. If he doesn't use that terminology, then it does become the guys. But Rashi adds, it's not just enough that when the Jew designates security to the or collateral to the guy, he says, if I default, it's yours from now. You have to have two factors working here. Number one is he has to say this terminology of me'achshav. And number two, he actually has to physically, harino etzlo, give it to him. So when you have these two factors working, that it's actually in the guy's rishus, plus the fact that the guy, that the Jew said me achshav, then it's considered the guy's. But let's say he only said me achshav, and what is not harinoi, he did not put it into the guy's property, it wouldn't be adequate. Other rishonim disagree. Others say that the simple reading in the Gemara is, as long as you said me achshav, it becomes the guy's. Ask the Gemara, not Tamra, from where in Shas do we see the Shonale Behech the Amim Achshav, Behech the Loy Amim Achshav, that there's this distinction? The Tanya, it says in a Braisa, Nachri Shehirim Pasperni Etz Yisrael. If a guy leaves this, Pasperni was a significant type of bread, Eina Over. The Jew is not considered that it's his. However, Amla Yigaticha, if the guy says it's yours, if I default on the loan, Over. Is the question, Mashna Reisha, Mashna Sefer. Why in the Reisha is the Jew not over for Chomet Shalom Pesach, for Bayirah, Bayimotz, and the Sefer is? El Lashmam, now how must we explain this, Braisa? Shani Hechad Omele Me'achshav. If he says Me'achshav, it's considered his from then, and that's why the Jew would be over Bayirah, Bayimotz, Lehechad Omele Me'achshav, where he doesn't use that strong language, it doesn't become his. Shmamina. Says the Gemara. Tanabon Chanush Shal Yisrael, if you have a store owned by Jews, this is the Gers according to Rashi, or Malay Shal Yisrael, and all the stock in the store belongs to Jew, or Pali Nochim Nechnosim L'Sham, but the workers are non-Jews. Chomet Shenimtsu Sham Acha Pesach, any chomet that's found in that store, that was there on Pesach, Osma No, you're not allowed to benefit from it, and certainly ain't Tzorch Loim Bachil, you're not allowed to eat it. Why? Because since the store is the Jew store, we assume that any chametz that's in the store is the Jews. I, the goyim, come there with their chametz tikkah sandwiches. The chametz tikkah sandwiches aren't what's significant. And we assume that the Jew did not properly do bedikah and bittel. Or, other Rishonim explained, since it's the Jew's property, any chametz that's in that property, his chotzer, his property is koine that it becomes his. Vice versa. Chanush shal nachri, but let's say the store belongs to a goy, or Malay shal nachri, and the stock in the store is goyish owned, or Pala Yisrael nechnas from Yotem Sham, but his workers are Jews. There we say chametz shenimtsa shamacha pesach mut bachila, and tzarch lebano. We assume that it's goyish chametz. We look at the store, not at the workers. It's interesting to note the Rabbeinu Chananel has just the opposite gears in the Gemara. He has that. In the first case, he says we don't follow the storekeeper, we follow the workers. But the Shulchan Aruch paskens, like the Girsa that Rashi has, the Girsa of Al Gemara, that we go according to the ownership of the store, not to the workers. Says the Mishnah, Chomet Shenafel Amapailas, a chomet on which we had this already, a wall fell down, Harei Kumavur, it's considered that it doesn't exist, and there's no problem by Yerah, by Yimotzim. Shim Gamliel Oimer, Kosh Enekel of Yochel Chapas Achrov, it has to fall down that much that a door cannot reach to that chometz. And the Tosfos Yontif quotes a Rambam that says that it's not that Rav Shimon Gamliel is arguing the Tanakhama. Rav Shimon Gamliel is explaining the Tanakhama. Tanakhama said that if a wall fell down, it's considered non-existent. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's not just that the wall fell down, it has to be so much that the wall fell down that a door can't reach it. Amar Rav Chisda, however, says Rav Chisda, b'tzor shivata b'liboy. Even though the wall fell on the chametz, you have to do bittel. So Rashi explains, why do you have to do bittel? Because maybe on Pesach, the wall is going to be cleared away, and then the chametz will become revealed, and you may use the chametz. So to avoid the problem, do bittel. That's how Rashi learns. The Ran learns like that. The Smak learns very differently. He says, it's not that bittel is a good idea to do, because in case the chametz will become revealed on Pesach. He says bittel is required al pidin, because since it's not that the chametz is completely destroyed, that it's completely out of the world, it's here, it's just not accessible. Chametz which is here and we know is here, just is non-accessible, al pidin requires bittel. Says the Magen Avraham, what's the nafkamina between Rashi and the Smak? Gevaldige nafkamina. Let's say it's Erev Pesach after Chatzos. That we learned in this Masechta, that Erev Pesach after Chatzos, it's too late to do bittel. So according to Rashi, so you can't do bittel. The only reason you're supposed to do bittel is because the Gemara is giving us a piece of advice, not that it's required. So you won't do the bittel. But according to the Smak, the bittel is required, and now you can't do the bittel, because it's not a time where bittel is effective, you won't have any choice but to go and clear away the whole wall to get to the chametz. But the Mishnah Brura says, let's say somebody wants to be frum, and even if he holds like Rashi, he wants to clear away the wall on Pesach to get rid of the chametz. Says the Mishnah Brura, it's not the right thing to do, because by exposing the chametz, you may come to use the chametz. So you're better off just leaving the chametz where it is, under the wall, and saying bittel. There's one more point I want to raise, and that is the Gemara says if it's sarv shivat beliboy. So Mefarshim point out from here it seems that you don't have to say the bittel; just thinking the bittel is enough. So the Chuvus Shalosh Chuvus for Yan Yosef explains it's machlokes rishonim if bittel is belev is enough. He says the machlokes is dependent on the mechanism. We spoke about this at the beginning of the Masechta. What is the mechanism of bittel? Tosfos says the bittel is hefker. If bittel works with hefker, hefker you have to expressly say out, so belev wouldn't be enough. But if on the other hand, as we said, other rishonim hold, the Ran said this, the bittel is some sort of a new concept that the halacha requires. Really, apidin, you don't own that chametz. Ein b'shus shaladim, the Torah only requires bittel. Then bittel belev will be enough. Tana, we learned in a brisa, kama chafis is a kelef. How much is considered covered that the dog can't get it? Shlosh tefachim. It has to have rubble of three tefachim. Amle revachem reider of yotzel Rashi. Hadam Shmuel, ksofm ein lehem shmir el bekarka. If you give me money to watch, that I should not be considered, that I was negligent in the shmir of the kesef, the only way I should not be considered negligent is if I buried it. Now, the question of Gemara is there two halachim, me being in shlosh tefachim, that I have to not only bury it, but I have to bury it three tefachim deep? Oloi, I don't have to bury it that deep. Amalei, so he answered, Hacha, in our case, we're dealing with chametz, Mishum Recha, and there's a concern that there's a scent of the chametz, and the dog will smell it and schlep it out. So when do we have the scent adequately covered? When you have shlosh tefachim. Shlosh tefachim. Hossam, however, when it comes to just hiding the money, all you're trying to accomplish is mechshum mechsi me'enuhu, just to have it covered. And v'loi bein in shlosh tefachim. You don't have to have three tefachim, the kama, but how much must you have? I'm a rafim by papa, mesikra, as long as it's covered a tefach, it's enough. And the Paiskim say, that doesn't mean that if somebody nowadays gives you money, the Shalosh Chuvus Mechsitcha says this, if somebody nowadays gives you money, it's not considered that you consider you're negligent unless you bury it. In those days, there was no other way of safekeeping money. Nowadays, if you have a safe or you have a secure place, that certainly will not, you won't be considered negligent if you put it in a secure place. The Chazon Ish says, just halach lemaisa, that let's say somebody has chametz, and instead of going through the bother of burning it, or the other ways of disposing the chametz that we discussed in this mesechta, what he'll do is he'll go throw purposely a mapoilus on it. He says, that you're not allowed to do. Our Mishnah is only speaking about the situation of chametz nafla mapoilus, that the mapoilus fell, the wall fell, but you're not allowed to put chametz under mapoilus to avoid the problem of having chametz on Pesach.